You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hi, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And we are
The Broadway Husbands. We're just your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances.
We are living proof that you can love who you love and love what you do. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss our weekly episodes. And if you really love us, make sure you leave a review on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. Take a screenshot and tag us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands.
And we are proud to be members of the Broadway Podcast Network. Check out their amazing array of Broadway-themed podcasts at bpn.fm/husbands. All right, we have some guests that I've been wanting to get on our podcast for a while today. This amazing powerhouse couple.
Power couple in the entertainment industry.
Kyle Dean Massey and Taylor Fry. Hi, guys.
Welcome.
I can't believe you said my name right. No one says my name correctly.
That's true. I didn't even
Wow,
that.
Good work.
To be honest, I had been saying it wrong, and Brett was like, I don't think he says Frey.
I know how to say your name. But I was actually trying to think about, I've known you, Taylor, for a long time, and I don't even remember how we met.
We've never worked together. No, but my very first boyfriend in New York City, you were doing a show with him. You were doing Little Mermaid with him, and he was the very first, straight out of the closet for Mormonism, he was my first boyfriend, and you guys were like buddies, and I would see you at little parties and stuff.
That's it, because you'd come hang out backstage. Oh my God, I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah.
Stage door Johnny.
That is so funny. But okay, so now that that's all flashback to seeing you backstage at the Lunt, tell our listeners, us, I mean, how did you two meet and start dating and get married?
That's a lot of stuff. How did you first meet?
How did you first meet
and who saw who first and who was kind of like, was there somebody that was obsessed or stalking the other one?
Actually,
maybe not stalking.
No, this is. I can give a little color on that.
Listen, Taylor's version of this story
is
a little
accurate.
Different than mine.
So here it goes.
So he can tell his version.
I knew who Kyle was because I had seen his big face on the booth when he was doing Next to Normal, and I was doing a hit show called Finian's Rainbow, not too far down the road. If you miss my ensemble work, well, I don't really know what to say, but you really missed out.
You popped.
I saw it. Stellar.
Closed in 3 months. But so I guess I always knew who he was. And then I had a chance to go see the show. And I wrote him a message after. And I was like, you were really great. Congratulations. I thought I loved him in the little boxers and like screaming. And he was like, thank you. That's really nice of you. And that was that. And you were dating somebody at the time, I think. Mm-hmm. And then I saw him again at the gym at New York Sports Club, and I hadn't had a chance to properly meet him yet. And so I just walked up to him. I'm like, hi, I'm Taylor. How are you? He's like, hi. And then turns out after he would break up with his current boyfriend, he went to L.A. where I was doing a soap opera, and he went there to do Wicked.
It's like 2 years later, I'd say.
Yeah, sometime down the road for sure. Yeah. And he was available. I was available. I helped him find an apartment. We started hanging out and then that was that. But I would soon come to find out that after I sent him the message on Facebook, he would stalk my family vacation photos in Hawaii and apparently had very vivid dreams.
Stalk is a very strong word. I think I just like a deep dive.
Oh, Kyle, no pride here.
Yeah, they were great.
There may be some images saved in a creepy folder from then on his computer.
Oh my gosh, I wish there were. Gosh.
Yeah, we only look like that once, you know. So,
Well, when you first started dating or hanging out, Who said I love you first?
Gosh, I don't remember. I do.
You do?
Wow, that's terrible.
That was 10 years ago.
I'll give you a hint. We were at a bowling alley after one of my shows at the Hollywood Bowl.
No.
Yep.
How to Succeed?
How to Succeed in Business.
How to Succeed.
How to Succeed.
I think you said it to me, didn't you?
I did, and I was wasted. So it makes a lot of sense.
Yes, you did. Okay. Did I didn't say like thank you, did I?
No, you said it right back. Kyle loves this air of like, oh, everyone, you know, just chases me. But listen, he said it immediately right back.
Yeah.
Aww.
That's true. Yeah.
And then I forgot I had said it the next day, and over breakfast he reminded me. So
you know those towers of beer at that bowling alley in Port Authority? Those will get you.
Yeah.
Remember how they would serve them in the tubes? Like the big tubes with I love
that. Yeah.
Yeah, they'll get you. Uh-huh. Yeah. You start off really strong in that bowling game, and then by the end, it's like, meh. No.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
Wait, so I always think of you both as being New York actors, but I know you made this transition to California. And making California your primary home, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Taylor actually was always back and forth quite a bit. I think you'd kind of do like 2 years there, a year in New York, a year in LA. Like Taylor went back and forth quite a bit. Yeah.
What was that? Just kind of as you both built your life together and you're doing this sort of bi-coastal thing, what sort of surprises you about that lifestyle, that transition of managing a relationship and doing this career and balancing all of that?
You know, that's just it. It was balance, right? I think the company took off so quickly. It took a minute to create boundaries and draw a line on when to stop talking about work and when to reinvest in each other. But as crazy as it sounds to run a company together as husbands on top of everything else and maintain a great marriage, it's been such a blessing. Like, it's wonderful to work with Kyle every day. I love it. I really do. I mean, he does surrogacy and I really do the donor side of things, but it's been amazing. And Kyle and I are people that we love change and we love movement. So we're trying to construct something where even as we have children, we can jump around to different locations. Maybe the house in Palm Springs for a little bit and then come back to the cabin just to change it up and have
variety. We're just kind of like nomadic people. I don't know if it's, we have never really planted solid roots in one place, I guess.
But I think what is surprising about it all is, at least for me, I've liked my time in Los Angeles. I am more a fan of Palm Springs, but I find myself incredibly drawn back to the East Coast in New York City over and over and over. I think it's the city for me with plenty of opportunities to get out, and it's also close to Europe. And I don't know, we're actually talking about planting down roots for the first time in, I don't know, 10 years and really buying like a primary property to raise a family and establish, you know, that community. And I think it might be back in New York. We're actually seeing apartments on Friday. So we'll see.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, New York will always, I think, keep pulling you back in. You both, that's...
Until we change my mind.
Right. Until you're like, no. But that's the beauty about so much of this. I think so many people don't realize is that New York is always going to be there. LA will always be there. You can always, you know, go back. And mm-hmm. for Kyle, especially, you know, having gone into company and I'm sure that was sort of like, you caught you off guard, like, oh, I guess I'm going to go do a Broadway show for a minute. And then that's going to shut down.
Yeah. I mean, you know, honestly, it wasn't an easy choice because we had really like kind of moved up and moved to the other side of the country. And the idea of being separated on like a year long contract was not an easy decision to make. And then I went ahead and did it. And then we shut down.
So, and it was over.
Yeah.
I'd say that was one of the most stressful
it was.
Conversations we had in a long time. Is it felt like he gave up so much to come back to the city, and our company was thriving in Los Angeles. We had just settled there and gotten this great spot. And then suddenly he was back and paying for a whole other apartment in New York City that was incredibly expensive because he wanted to be comfortable. And then it sat empty for 6 months. So it was kind of like, man, it's a constant reminder, as much as we love this industry and we love being actors, and whenever the right project comes along, we're so eager to jump back into it, but it doesn't always have your back. And in fact, rarely does it have your back.
I think it never has your back.
And I think there's two paths there: to become a little jaded and bitter, or find something else you're passionate about and create a platform where acting can just be fun again, and you can just be passionate about it again and not desperate for it. And I feel like that's kind of been what we're learning over the last 5 years. Is you are capable of more. It doesn't make you less of an artist. All of it is you. All of it's amazing. Just makes you a more experienced human being, for when you do that project, you can bring a wider range of emotions because you're a more diverse human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
How long into your relationship or marriage, when did the conversation come up about you having a family together and looking for your egg donors?
Like date two?
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, truly date two. Because listen, I've been on a lot of first dates in my life, okay? Mm-hmm. And I have gotten down the road a few times with men where it seemed so promising. We seemed aligned on things. And then we weren't. So I got to a point in my late 20s where I was like, all right, let's just casually I thought I was being casual, like hash a few things out. Let me just test it. So I remember we were eating pho at a place in Los Angeles. And I was like,
And that place closed. It was so good.
It was so good.
Yeah, I loved that place.
But I said, do you see yourself like having kids one day, whether it's however that may be, adoption, IVF, whatever it is? Mm-hmm. And he goes, no, absolutely not. And so immediately at that time, I thought, okay, so this is going to be like a fun hangout situation where this is temporary. This is not going any further. So that's how that happened.
And then what changed, Kyle Dean?
You know, I don't know that my ideas about wanting to have children change. I think I always did want that. I think that I had told myself for many, many years, starting from when I was a young boy, that, you know, by being gay, it basically was a sentence of doing without. It was, you're not going to be accepted. You're not going to like be truly happy. You're going to have relationships in secret. You're not going to be able to have a family. You're not going to be able to get married. You're not going to be able to do all these things. And so I always tell this Aesop fable, which Taylor is probably tired of hearing, but one of my favorite Aesop fables is like, what was he, like a fox or something trying to get a pomegranate off the tree, was jumping for it and jumping for it and jumping for it. And then after he realized he couldn't get it, was like, yeah, didn't want it anyway. And I always kind of felt like that was my experience growing up gay, was that there were all these things that I think I really wanted and I knew that I couldn't. And I think just to protect myself, you know, the thick skin that we all kind of developed growing up the way that we did and the circumstances in which we did, that I think I told myself in a lot of things, I don't want that anyway. You know, it's like, you can't take something away from me that I never wanted anyway. And then I had to really come to terms as I got older about what was actually true with those things and what things I had kind of convinced myself that I didn't want. And there were a lot of them, you know, actually, I'd say almost all of them. Yeah. So
was your relationship with Taylor a big help of you realizing maybe the things that you believed that maybe weren't true?
Absolutely.
About like growing up gay? Was that like a big revelation being with him?
100%. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I would say I always, before Taylor, I'd always dated guys that were older than me. At least 5 or 6 years older than me. And the whole gay rights issues, they changed so quickly in our lifetime that Taylor, who's 5 years younger than me, has a very different outlook on things than I do. And just that little difference, I think, and you know what? It's not just that, it's just the person that he is.
He unfortunately married a person that thinks anything is possible.
It's
and never
true. Yeah. Isn't that so cool? It's true.
Every day I'm like, we can do that. Let's do it. Are you kidding me? He's like, but here's why maybe we can't. And I'm like,
I know.
Throw that out the window.
Yeah, Taylor. It's so true, though. I think it's a mixture of things. But yeah, to answer your question, 100%.
So you decide you're going to start this process, and you, I'm imagining, because I've never met that you have a kid yet, but you've started the process of getting an egg donor. You have embryos frozen or I don't know how far on the stage you are, but when in that process did you decide, you know what, we can do this better. Let's start Elevate.
You know what? Honestly, it was about five years ago. We went through IVF. We didn't have, you know, a ton of funds to do it, but we had enough in our savings that we knew that we could at least create embryos with a donor. So we just started there. And essentially, I looked at every donor database and agency in the nation. I'm not kidding. I spent a lot of time going through these profiles. And I was just discouraged. You know, any woman that wants to donate is incredibly generous. But in a process where you can choose certain things, you know, people want to. And whatever that is for you, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. How important is talent or artistic ability or education? So I'm going through these profiles. And I think at the time, I can't remember what project I was doing, but it was so difficult for us to find a donor that we were really, really excited about. Then we found one through this program, and then she disappeared the day before injections, and we lost all this money. And I happened to be working on a project where I was telling these women in the show about our journey, and they were all beautiful and talented and wonderful. And they were like, well, I would love to donate. Like, I would like that opportunity. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think I might be able to create a program that offers really high caliber option of accomplished, beautiful, kind, smart, generous women to help couples like myself. And, you know, just a year later, we had done 100 cycles and there were all these babies coming into the world. And I mean, it took a lot of work and he and I had many sleepless nights and, you know, the legal aspect, making sure everything was in a row, figuring out how to manage it all. But and now we've got 9 employees and things are going beautifully, but that's kind of how the start was for my own disappointment about the IVF journey, specifically for gay men. You know, really,
it felt totally built for heterosexual people. It really did. It was like every website we visited was like pink and purple. And it was like, become the intended mother, the mother you always meant to be. And like from
it was alienating.
From angel's arms to yours. Yeah. It was things like that. And we were like, ew.
Yeah.
And even like our contracts, I mean, I know you guys remember it's the process of going through IVF, third party IVF is very legally intensive. There's a gazillion things you have to sign. And I remember ours, it said intended mother, intended father.
Yeah.
On it.
Yeah.
And I was
I think I literally signed on the IM line and didn't even ask for a change. And that too, we're so passionate about helping couples like us have kids and heterosexual couples, of course, who've been through it, but in just a slightly different way.
Yeah.
And to think that I'm upset when I have to sign sometimes at number 2. I'm like, am I really number 2 on this document?
You got so mad.
You should feel lucky when you're number 2 because that way you don't have to fill out like the address and phone number stuff. It's actually a good thing to be number 2.
He was like, really? I'm IP2. I'm like, calm down. you have been so, I just want to say, like, you've been so helpful for us as we've been navigating this path, and we're super grateful. I just want to acknowledge that.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you know, you guys are like our favorite type of people to help. Truly. We love being able to, if anything, just like, give our advice to people that from the entertainment field where we have worked because I don't know, for whatever reason, people just didn't talk about it much. It felt the process felt very opaque, and sometimes it's so overwhelming and not exactly sure where to start. And so I feel like we just would call our friends who'd been through the process before and try to get their opinion on things. But that's very tricky business because everyone's journey is so vastly different. It's hard just to speak to a friend who's done it and expect that yours is going to be the same because it absolutely will not be. And so I do like that we have a very different perspective that we can offer our friends and theater colleagues.
And you're incredibly supportive and generous just in your spirit and your, so it's wonderful. I hadn't found that for people like us in our field. Because it, like you said, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing too, as you start the family building process, because everyone has an opinion about adoption versus surrogacy. And in our industry where we care way too much what other people think, you know, you know, people will constantly give you their judgment and their opinion. And
they do.
It's such a
It's not even in our industry. It's just like in general, I think, on social media. And,
look, I don't know anyone that doesn't hope every adopted child gets adopted and moves on and has a wonderful life. Does that mean those who do want to do IVF should be shamed? Absolutely not. Wanting a biological child is very natural for us. It's very much in our DNA. Also, the process of adoption can be incredibly complicated, sometimes more expensive, and the wait list sometimes to get a newborn can also be a big challenge. So I love adoption. I mean, it's very probable Kyle and I adopt someday. That doesn't mean that we didn't want to have a biological kid as well. And, you know, sometimes we'll hear that those phrases from often straight couples or someone's parents who have conceived very naturally and was very easy. And they're like, well, have you thought about adoption? And I'm like, have you thought about adoption? Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't?
Yeah.
I know. Interesting. Okay. So yeah, I guess we're not that standard. Different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a double standard. You're absolutely mm-hmm. right. It's yeah. very interesting. Okay. So I'm really glad we addressed that. That makes me feel good. And I want to ask you, as you've evolved your Elevate, what from a donor agency to now, like you're a full service surrogacy agency, is there a big difference between running a surrogacy agency and running a talent agency besides the end result?
Yeah.
I wish that the answer was no, but yeah. I think it's completely different in every way.
The truth is, all of it is precious. All of the information is precious. All the health elements are precious. All of them are key components to a successful cycle with a donor or a surrogate. None of it is loose. It's just you can go mad sometimes crossing your T's and dotting your I's in this process.
Yeah. I can't imagine the pressure legally, and you're dealing with biological, emotional. I mean, you know, we're just kind of in this beginning transfer process, and just with our gestational carrier, yeah. just when she was taking her hormones, she's having emotional ups and downs. And so you're dealing with a lot of stuff running your own agency.
It's so true. I mean, you have to make sure that like, they administer them at the right time, that they know how to administer them, that they received the packages, that they called their attorney, that they went and got this notarized.
That's one of the biggest downfalls of running the program. As much as we love it, there is not really a stop time or a day off. And I can say that very honestly. I mean, the last 5 years have been, you got a donor doing something on a Sunday and she's got a question. She needs to get the right meds. She needs help with her trigger shot. You got to get someone there. Emergencies happen every single day. And I think we took like 5 days last year in Switzerland when we were skiing to kind of relax, but you're still making sure everything's going right. And it's still, and every day you wake up and you open your computer and this flood of other people's emotions come at you. And I've had to really navigate what that means for my personal life and how to sort through that instead of just being like, I guess I'm going to have, you know, a glass of bourbon today at 3:00. You know, it really requires like getting on the Peloton and doing yoga and like doing meditation and figuring out ways to cope with the anxiety of other people that they kind of place on you and expect you to handle and guide.
Oh yeah. Cause you know how stressful it is just for you, but then I think we probably have at least 100 cycles going on right now simultaneously. So that times 100 is.
And luckily we truly have the best team in the world. Every member of our team has been through IVF or has donated or been a surrogate. And they're incredible. They're incredible people.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that With brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
And how do you get each other to, I mean, we don't have a business like this at all. And I have a hard time trying to be like, okay, like, let's just get off the computer. Like, it's, I'm here, like, pay attention to me. Like, how do you guys do that for each other? Is it a hard?
We're still figuring it out.
Yeah.
Last night we got in the hot tub and we were like,
well, you left me. I think that's Taylor's thing. That's he's true. Like, if I just walk out of the house and don't say anything, eventually he's going to be like, Taylor, where did you go? I call out the window and he's like, I'm out here.
I was just taking a moment in the hot tub. It was kind of a stressful day yesterday. And then he came and joined me, which is always wonderful. And I think the joke is, we're like, okay, this is hot tub time. Let's talk about other things. And then it just always goes back.
Well, because we're passionate about it and we really love what we're doing. Right. And it actually, believe it or not, I think this is what surprises people the most is I personally feel much more creative in working in assisted reproduction than I ever did feel working on Broadway, like by a lot, because we're just always coming up with new ways to do this or that. And we like that. It's fun. But then kind of like how he said, like sometimes it becomes a bit of extra anxiety. So it is hard.
But I guess the answer, sometimes. I don't know that we have found the perfect solution yet, other than we have tried to make a rule like around 6 or 7, you know, the rest of the night, we either need to light a fire and read a book or talk about other things or get into our like house design stuff that we like. But it's not easy because that phone pings and usually it's an emergency.
Yeah.
Wow. Talking about growing your family, you're incredibly successful in the entertainment industry. What do you think the biggest challenges are of starting a family, especially as a same-sex couple, and the industry?
I think establishing roles are tricky. I think because we've all been brought up with these kind of ideas of what role and each person will take on in a marriage. You know, it's like, oh, the mother's going to do this. She's going to breastfeed. So she's going to be the
You'll
one to wake
diapers.
Up and do this. You know what I mean?
I'll do not diapers.
Yeah. But it's funny too, because I feel like we've seen people from our parents' generation and like these long harbored resentments that they may or may not have, but that kind of extend well into their marriage. And I think what's really cool about being gay is that we don't really have to follow any of those kind of heteronormative things. We can kind of make up our own rules as long as, you know, we keep the kid breathing and fed. So it's interesting. I think you just have to kind of come up with your own rules.
But in terms of your question about it being in the entertainment industry, I think we've helped enough couples going through IVF who become first-time parents who are incredibly successful in the field. I mean, tons of people in Hollywood and in New York. And you know, the industry views people who have children a little differently than they were before. It's a thing. They look at them just a little bit different. But I feel like that is changing and changing rapidly, not just for gay men, but for women who become mothers. You know, this whole theory of their being desexualized or whatever it is just because they're a mom. I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with women about this who fear it so greatly. And, you know, our goal here is kind of to try to empower them to make the choice when they feel is best for them and best for their career and be the badass, powerful, beautiful, sexy woman they are as a mother. And it's been really interesting having those conversations and to even look at it ourselves and like, you know how it is. I mean, producers, choreographers, directors, you know, they sometimes have a little bit of horse blinders on when it comes to some of this. Not all, of course, but some.
Yeah, I feel like it almost feels like there's more of a niche of people in our field who are more family oriented. And it's like this subculture of the entertainment industry.
Totally.
Where, like, want to have kids. Totally. And the people who don't. It's interesting.
It is. And that's why I'm so excited to help all these families in the entertainment industry become parents and show everybody like they're thriving. They're living a wonderful life and they come home to this little bundle of love every day after their show. And maybe they did go out and have the glass of wine with their cast. And then, you know, whatever it is, they're figuring it out and making it work.
Yeah. I'm not knocking those people at all. I mean, I was one of those people, right, for a long time where it was just like, this is who I am. This is what I do. And I think there's a season for that. And I think when you decide to become a parent, you're past that to a certain extent. You can't give 100% to that. I don't want to. Sure. I don't want to give 100% to that.
I mean, I actually remember an agent saying to me when I started dating Steven, saying something to the effect of, are you going to be in this relationship for a long time? Because that could affect...
Let me tell you a little story.
Who said that to you?
Joel.
Really? Yes. I hope this all makes it into the podcast, because that story reminds me of a little story of myself that I also hope makes it into the podcast. I went to see Kyle's. We had just started dating. I went to see him do a 54 Below show. And he's got an agent that I truly cannot stand. Whatever, they do a good job for him, doesn't really matter. I'm a very transparent person. And I walk into the room. The concert was about, the concert had just finished. And I knew that the agent was over there and my manager was with us or whatever. And so she introduced us. I'm like, hi, I'm Taylor. Nice to meet you. And he said, is he going to always wear that wedding ring? Because it's very distracting. I'd prefer he take it off. And I just remember looking at his agent like, oh, bitch, you don't know who you're messing with. This is not going to be good for you. Like, don't, like, say hello first. Say anything. Don't say, is he going to wear your wedding ring? It's just, man, I just feel like, and all of it is quite dated now, too. It's a different
world. I think it's generational.
It's a generational thing. Yeah. How, when do you think you guys will move forward with your journey?
Well, we just finished our mock cycle.
Very, 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 very soon.
Yeah.
That's all I can say. It's so very
great.
Hopefully sooner than later. It's not easy for us too. You know, I'm sure people think like they are so deep in the field, but it has not been easy. I mean, we lost our first surrogate as well. Unfortunately had to, you know, find another one, and it's just not simple.
It's not. It just doesn't happen on your time.
Yeah. That's very true.
And that would be the one piece of counsel I'd give anybody is like, hire a team of people you love and actually do want to work with, and then let go a little. As much as you're going to want to micromanage every part of it, you've got to, for your own well-being, you got to let go and let them get to work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems like this is kind of a silly question now after talking to you both, but are you planning on like doing any acting projects together? You know,
together?
Are you planning on, yeah. Is there any sort of...
We've actually thought about like producing something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we've thrown around a lot of ideas about like producing something. Taylor's actually a terrific writer.
We've got a few scripts in the works.
A couple treatments of things. Yeah, I think we definitely will.
We've got a really fun one based in Palm Springs, though, actually, that's going to be great. So I'm actually trying to get that off the ground. I'm talking to producers all the time about that. So.
Wow. It sounds like you guys have a real partnership. Was it clear? I think like what you said earlier, Kyle, you know, like kind of your preconceived notions of what your life should be and how Taylor kind of changed that for you. Mm-hmm. Did you dream that this partnership would be this great in the beginning?
No, not at all. It's been way more of an adventure than I ever expected it to be. Don't make that face. I do think that like, anytime you're in a long-term relationship, I mean, my parents have been together for almost 50 years, so it doesn't seem that long, but like 10 years, you know, that's a long time. And to see how your dynamic changes from year to year, to see how your lives change and evolve. And it's amazing that we have this really significant history now that we kind of have built upon and discovered kind of that we were good partners in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. You know?
There was one question we kind of skipped. I wanted to come back to, and that was, you know, as you're starting your family as well, this interesting thought is, you know, I know Taylor, you speak openly about your Mormon background and coming out, and Kyle being from the South, cause I'm from, you know, from the South too. Is there cultural differences for you guys with your religious upbringing and coming out, or is your experiences of coming out, do you think that's helped connect you because of your backgrounds?
Yes. I mean, inevitably as gay men who have had to come out in the times that we did, at least at our age, I think yes, that the big answer to that is yes. But what I have noted from Kyle's experience coming out in Arkansas and my experience coming out in Mormonism or just being a teenager there seemed to be pretty different. I think it's quite possible I went through much more severe bullying. I think I struggled a lot more than he did, you know, just being sad. My journal entries are pretty
scary.
And I just, for whatever reason, his experience was a little different. Maybe that's because of who he is or learned confidence. I'm not sure. But I mean, it annihilated me. It did a number on me. So I still deal with some of that damage and have to work through it in therapy and everything else. So, but it's going well. But yeah, I would say it of course brings us together.
Our families are similar in that they love and adore us like 100%. So we definitely have that in common.
We've got great support systems. That is something we are able to share for sure.
But I did not have like a traumatic coming out of story or anything like that.
Well, you
do
can
you think
also
you'll raise your child. Do you think you'll raise your child in any sort of religious?
You know, I love that in terms of beliefs, for me, it's so basic now. There's not a day goes by that I don't pray. I am such a believer in God and a higher power. I definitely love the ritual of some sort of Sunday worship. I just love it. I love going. I love the meditation aspect. I like hearing the music. I like hearing uplifting words. And we have found some great little churches that
are
so welcoming. Yeah, you do have to look hard, unfortunately, but I would love to get the little munchkins ready on Sunday and it's like church day.
It reminds me of Sex and the City when Miranda's like, no mention of this, no mention of that, you know, because she's getting the kid baptized or something.
You would quote Miranda.
But I think that's kind of how we are. We're like, we'll take our kids to church just as long as you don't talk about this.
Yeah, I would like to. Yeah. I just like the ritual of it. It's not incredibly deep, by the way.
I feel the same way, yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for speaking openly about all that. All right. We're going to move into a segment that we call
Spotlight on Love.
So we have someone write in on Instagram. And for those of you that don't know, you can write into us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands for relationship advice. We give us and our guests give completely unqualified advice in return. And this person, Emmett, said, I have been in a long distance relationship with my boyfriend for 3 years now, and COVID is making it harder than ever to see each other. Any tips on how to still build our relationship?
Gosh. You know, I don't know. You know, I think COVID has really thrown a wrench into things. Like, I know that when we were separate, we just spent a lot of money on flights going back and forth to each other. I don't know that we ever went more than like 3 weeks without seeing each other.
Here's what I'll say. Get your best outfit on, pour yourself a glass of wine, and jump on that Zoom. Make sure it's a secure connection and nothing's being filmed, and get to work. Make it happen.
I love it.
I know it's burned a person or two before, but you know what? If it's looking good and it's quite serious and you want to keep it together, get on Zoom. Even just have a chat. Yeah. Talk about your day, whatever it may be.
Yeah, I agree with the Zoom thing. I also think if you live close enough that if you're willing to drive and you feel like you can – God, there's a lot of trust, and I guess you're just trying to build that. But if you trust the person enough and you trust yourself that you are not COVID, you don't have COVID and you don't know it, or you have COVID and you don't know it, and you could maybe go and meet them somewhere and have some sort of face-to-face interaction, as close or as far away as you'd prefer, I guess.
Yeah.
I think that would be a solution if you have the time and you're not that far away from each other. But yeah, Zoom. I mean, you might as well FaceTime or Zoom, right? I mean, that's what this technology is for.
Has there been a time in your lives where you've had to do incredible long distances?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like years at a time. Once I was in a show in the East Village and he was doing a show in Seoul, Korea for like a long time.
4 months, not a year.
I didn't say
it. It felt like a year, but it felt like
it felt like a year. It was really, yeah.
Yeah. And then just often, I don't know, somehow we find ourselves apart plenty. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think the gift of this time is that people are all discovering they can work kind of from anywhere. So mm-hmm. I've been suggesting to people, just try to be a pod, like be a pod with the people that you want to see as often as possible, if you can.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I agree.
And you guys bought a house out in the country, right? Where are you at?
We're right outside of Milford.
Right now we're in Pennsylvania.
Milford, Pennsylvania. Cute little town. It's got a little little gay restaurant called Hotel Foucher, and it's great. Bar Louis. Mm-hmm. It's a cute little town. I had no idea so many gay people were up here. It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's been fun to watch you fix up your cottage, or it's a cabin, or what are you calling it? A cabin?
Whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, whatever. Cottage is so cute. We didn't call it a cabin. Maybe we'll call it a cottage now.
Well, the actual name of it, since it's just outside of Milford, so we just changed the M to a D and we call it Dilford.
Dilford Lodge.
Oh, I like that a lot. That's hot.
Because we're trying to, so trying to become dads, you know, all of it. It just fit.
Yeah. Nice. Well, where can people follow you and elevate? Give everyone your social media handles.
Mine is at Kyle Dean Massey.
Mine's at Taylor Fry. And then the Instagram is actually the full name, Elevate Egg Donor Agency. The website's elevatebaby.com. So,
and you do everything now. You're doing sperm donors. You have the whole surrogacy journey. You can get it all through you guys.
You can get it all. Yeah.
You're one stop shop. And they sing and dance and act. So, yeah. I mean, what is that? That's Dilford to the max.
Yes.
I'm so glad you guys came and talked. This is so inspiring.
Super inspiring. You guys are clearly have a great partnership and are doing such a great service for people. So thank you.
Is there anything you want to make sure you leave our listeners with before we sign off?
I know.
I do.
What?
It's such a rough time in the world. I mean, it truly is. And so many people are not doing so well. And are, you know, taking the toll mentally and whatnot. I would just say, hold on a little longer. The future is going to get so bright again. I know this is terrible, but it will improve and things will go back. And just stick around, man.
Stick it out. Just stick it out.
Thank you. Stick it out.
Stick it out.
Thank you. That's so great. And for all of you listening, thanks for listening to this episode. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss our weekly episodes. Take a minute and help us out by leaving a review on whatever platform you listen to us on. It would mean the world to us. And on this podcast, we encourage you to
love who you love
and love what you do.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.